Happy Easter, everyone. All right. So before I kind of pray for the sermon, just to let you know, the kids are staying in for the sermon. There's coloring packs and stuff, because after the sermon, there is an Easter egg hunt. And that's right. So after the service, head on out into the atrium area. If you are below 6 foot high. Kim's in. There he goes in. Just looking at a certain person on the front row. So, kids are more than welcome to have the Easter egg hunt. There's colouring and stuff for now, and you could enjoy that. We're going to pray, because you may have turned on the news this morning and seen, whether it be on Facebook, whether it be on the news itself, that in Sri Lanka, as our brothers and sisters were worshipping this day, Easter service, many were killed. Hundreds, in fact. Bombings were happening in churches in Sri Lanka. I'm not sure the fatality numbers. I don't know if anyone, is it about 150? I think it was rising. 207 was the latest. So, yeah, I was going to pray. You know, but here's the thing about this day. There is victory in this day. That death doesn't have its sting, but right now there are people really hurting. And so as a church, we're going to pray for our brothers and sisters, and then we're going to pray for this time together as well. Heavenly Father, we just come before you. This is your day. Jesus, we celebrate this day. We celebrate that we have life only because of you. That you are risen, that you are alive, that you are truth, that you are hope, that you bring joy. And God, right now there are brothers and sisters in this world, and in particular in Sri Lanka right now, they're hurting or in pain. God, we just pray, Jesus, just comfort them, be with them. Allow their eyes to be fixed on you, to know that they are with you. And God, allow your church to stand up in love, not in revenge, not in hate, but in love, and to support and to be compassion. And that includes us, well, God. And as we turn to you this morning, we just ask that you just speak now, that you use me despite all my weaknesses, that this be about you. God, that we see you. We praise you for this day. Jesus, in your name. Amen. Amen. Thanks again for the choir, for singing us in this morning. It was fantastic to hear those voices, that kind of victory that it is that we get to proclaim in this day, that he is alive, he arose. And what does that mean for us today is what we're going to look at. I mean, this is the simplest sermon. Of all the sermons I get to prepare, this is the simplest one. Why? Because this is what everything else is built on. This truth, the resurrection, is really what impacts all the other sermons. We're getting back to basics today. I mean, I know not everyone is called to preach, but really, I think pretty much anyone could get up and say this one. In fact, Maddie, come up here. Let's see how this goes. Okay. Okay, simple, right? Why do we celebrate Easter?
Because he arose from the dead and he fighted the death.
There you go. Did you hear that? All right. Is this guy on? Okay. We'll say that again. That was a good answer. Just say it again. Okay, why do we celebrate Easter?
Because he arose from the dead and he fighted the death.
That's right. He beat death, right?
Mm-hmm.
There you go. There's the message. Thanks. So, normally we pay our guest visited preachers, but you probably have to preach a bit longer than that. But that's really it. We're coming today to celebrate this simple truth that Jesus beat death, like just an 8-year-old just said. And now we look at, okay, what does that mean for us? So this morning I'm going to use John's account. I love the different gospel accounts. We have 4 gospels, 4 different viewpoints of the resurrection story. And take it like this. You're watching a sports game. Let's just say a sports team in Alberta that no longer is in the playoffs. Just say you're watching. Let's just say you're watching that game. Anyway, the Flames are out. Oh, look at that, on Easter. How appropriate. Anyway. But say, anyway, get back to the point. That was just a side point. You're watching this hockey game. I didn't say any names. This hockey game. We're all watching the same game, but there are different camera angles, given different viewpoints. All of them showing Johnny Coudreau crying, but just from different angles. But that's kind of like the Gospels. They're all looking at the same story, but we have different angles. And so today we're looking at this viewpoint of John. And how I just love John's gospel, of how rich and how truthful. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is how he closes the gospel of his letter by saying, you know, Jesus did so much more than this, and there's not enough books in the world, there's not enough paper in the world to contain this. I just love how honest, how simple, how raw John is. And this is what we get with him in the gospel account. So we're going to read together in John chapter 20. I'm using the NLT version this morning and going from verse 1 to 17. And I'm going to jump in and out. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So here we have Mary here on the first opportunity, the day after the Sabbath. She was good. She waited till the Sabbath was over, not even sunrise. She was so desperate to go to that tomb. It wasn't even sunrise. She was there. Mary Magdalene, who loved Jesus. Jesus cured her from being demon-possessed. She loved him. She followed him. She was like, I got to get there. Not even sunrise, Mary's there. And she finds the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. First thing she does is she runs and finds Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. This is the humble side of John. He's writing about himself there. So the disciple, the one Jesus loved. She said, they have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb and we don't know where they have put him. Peter and the other disciple started out for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. So either he's saying, I'm fitter than Peter, or he's saying, I love Jesus more. Either way, good old humble John, I love it. But he gets there first. He stooped and looked in and saw the linen wrapping lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went straight inside. Good old Peter. And he also noticed the linen wrappings lying there, while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Then, when the disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and he believed. For until then, they still hadn't understood the scriptures that said Jesus must rise from the dead. Then they left. So, this story, Mary comes to them and says, something's happened. The stone is gone. Jesus is not there. So the two guys run up there. John gets there first. Peter goes straight in. They both discover, whoa, something's not right here. Now, in all the other gospel accounts, it says that the boys went home trying to figure it out. Again, I love John's account. It's like, I went in, and I'm like, got it. I believed. He understood. No more questions. I'm going home for breakfast. Either way, Peter and John left the scene. They go down, leaving Mary there. And this is what we're going to focus on this morning, is Mary at the tomb. Verse 11, Mary was standing outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she stooped and looked in. She saw 2 white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. Dear woman, why are you crying? The angels asked her. Because they have taken away my Lord, she replied, and I don't know where they have put him. She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus. But she didn't recognize him. Dear woman, why are you crying? Jesus asked her. What are you looking for? She thought he was the gardener, and she said, Sir, she said, if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him. Mary, Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, Rabboni, which in Hebrew for teacher. Don't cling to me, Jesus said, for I haven't yet ascended to the Father. But go, find my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. So here we have Mary weeping, looking into this tomb. The emotions that must be going through her at that time. Defeat, mourning, confusion, anger that somebody stole all this. Upset, hurt, pain, loss, hopelessness. All just going through her and feeling that emotion. Reflecting over the last few hours of what she witnessed on that cross. Of this man who healed, who loved, who was the way. Took down, stolen, gone. But then these angels speak to her. And the great thing is she almost gets it. When they said, what are you doing? Who are you looking for? And she's like, I'm looking for my Lord. She didn't just say, oh, I'm looking for my friend. I'm looking for the Lord. Hadn't quite got it. She wasn't skipping around, dancing around, saying he's risen. She was upset. She was angry. But somebody had taken my Lord. And then she turns around. And she sees this guy standing there. And maybe because she had tears in her eyes, it was blurry, and so she couldn't really understand. Maybe there was still a doubt in there. It was too good to be true. Whatever was the reason, when she saw him face to face, still wasn't there. And even when he first spoke to her, she thought he was the gardener. But when she fully turned around, after she heard him call her name, Mary. Just the same as he probably would have called her name to allow that demon to get out of her. The compassion, the love, the hope. Suddenly, from hopelessness, from defeat, from despair, she turns fully around, hears her name by the Messiah, and now she's just elated from defeat to victory. Death to life. She is just so overwhelmed with joy. I mean, Jesus says, you know, don't cling to me. So maybe she even ran up and grabbed him. She was just overwhelmed in this moment. That is true. He is alive. This is not hopeless. This is living in hope. Just how quick she got it. And that whole persona, hope, emotion, whole life is just turned. Because that's the power of the resurrection. That's the power of accepting the resurrection. That's the power of putting your faith in the resurrection. Many good guys die. Many people would have thought Jesus might have just been a nice guy, helpful guy. But they don't raise from the dead. And in that moment, that faith, that whoa, turned her life around. Because that is the power of the resurrection. And that's the same truth today. It's the power of the resurrection. If we accept it, if we believe in it, it transforms. But the problem is, some of us are still living a life like we're Mary in the tomb. Confused. Looking for hope. Looking for reason. I mean, she was asking the angels, where have you put him? Maybe that's how we live our life still, is still asking those questions. Still want more evidence. Maybe we need to to turn around and realize that Jesus is with us. That it's a simple truth that Jesus has been with you the whole time. Jesus himself talks about a parable. He tells these stories in the Bible to help people get it. And one of these parables, one of these stories, was about a pearl merchant. Somebody searching for just the best and the greatest of these treasures. And he says, the kingdom of God, Christianity, if you will, a relationship with Jesus, is when you are searching and searching for that purpose and meaning, looking for that pearl. And in the story, this pearl merchant finds the greatest pearl. And what he does, he ends up selling everything else because he's like, I got it. This is it. And then that's what this relationship we have with Christ is. Is instead of still stooping into that grave, trying to find hope and meaning and questions and questions and questions, and at some point going, Jesus, I want to cling to you. I want to accept that you did raise from the dead. That you beat death, as the 8-year-old says, for me, simply because you love me. This is the cornerstone. This is the foundation. This is what everything is based off. Because here's the thing. Resurrection equals victory. Where do you need victory in your life? What does the resurrection look like in your life? Do we still leave this place wanting to seek revenge on somebody? Do we still live a life filled with bitterness and anger? Or do we go, you know what? In light of this story today, that I put my hope in this as truth, that if Jesus, if he really did live on this earth, heal, love, show the way, be the way, died on a cross for me, then beat death, rise again, and simply say, believe in me, and I'll have eternal life. Surely those things that get us upset, bitter, anger, whatever it might be, looks totally different. Because everything should do in light of the resurrection. The way we live our lives surely should be like Mary turning fully around and going, whoa, that changes everything. It has to. Because we're singing, death, there is no more sting. That's huge. To not live a life of fear of death anymore. To not live in a life of fear, but instead living a life allowing ourselves to be filled by this truth. Here's the thing. This truth has nothing to do with what you and I do, thankfully. Doesn't matter if you've gone to church for 50 years. Maybe this is your first time. Maybe you came to church as a teenager and stuff happened. Whatever happened, happened. Jesus is still with you. And it may just need you to turn around and realize that he's been with you the whole time. And that's transformation. That changes everything. To know that God loves you so much, even despite your messing up, that he sent his son on that cross to face brutal murder, knowing full well that he was going to kick its butt, and that all we had to do is accept that as truth, and that we can live a life of joy, hope, fearless of death, a life of victory, where those stuff, those sins that for a long time would just smother us, no longer. Because in the power of Jesus, those can be broken. That's something I experience in my life. That's something I witness and see in others. who fully turn around and go, that's truth. And I want to surrender my life to that, because that is victory. That's the resurrection. And that's what it's all based on. So maybe we need to reflect and ask ourselves, where do we need victory in my life? Where do I need to put in perspective of this truth of this story? To go, do you know what? Compared to this, this is nothing. I'm surrendering to this truth and allow my life to be filled with this victory. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that this is a day that's simple. It's just simple. Thank you, Jesus, that you beat death for us. Thank you, Jesus, that you went on that cross for us. But thank you, Jesus, that we have life in you simply by following, simply by saying yes, simply putting trust that you are the way. That there's victory in the name of Jesus. That when we fully turn and see that you're alive, to hear your voice calling our name, that just changes everything. And I pray for those here today that are still searching, still looking, to know that, God, it's simple, that you love them, that you're with them, that they need to just turn around and acknowledge that you are truth, that you did it for them. Not because we're so great, but because you just love us. Help us just dwell in that truth in our lives. And for those areas in our lives that we need victory in, help us bring the resurrection into that. To go, there is victory in that worry, in that fear, in that loneliness, in that despair, in that hurt. There is victory because there is life in Jesus. And that you promise that you're with us in those journeys, in those moments. That's because, God, you gave yourself. So Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you just fill each person here today. Maybe that's the first time, or just another awesome time of just being knowing we can draw close to you, Jesus. Thank you that this day we celebrate victory. I pray, Lord God, when we leave this place, we don't leave victory in this building. We take it home to our work, to our families, to our schools, to our communities. We live in that resurrection. We live in that victory. Allow those fruit to just grow and to show there is life in the name of Jesus. And we pray that in your name. Amen.
Please stand with us.